Work-life balance survey, international assignments, disrupt family life. This again reiterates the same point where it says that nearly 5% reported that families returned home earlier than anticipated, and of that number 30% cited the work and travel schedules of the expats being very, very hectic. They had to take that decision. So work-life balance really plays a pivotal role in managing the stress level of expats in a foreign country. Companies have weak work-life balance policies, certainly so, be it a domestic market or a global scenario. When it is to do with the deadlines, when it is to do with the delivery of the projects on the with the set quality on a particular timeline, all the work-life balances go, you know, concepts goes to a toss. And unfortunately, the deadlines and the pressure points to deliver on time with a quality product has become a day-to-day affair. It is not restricted to delivering a project, you know, a particular project or a particular assignment. Only 21% say that organizations had either a formal or informal policy on work-life balance. So, though the awareness of, you know, having a balanced work-life is increasing, there is very little that has been done in terms of forming a policy or making it a strict thing to adhere to. So, any of these kind of changes certainly need to come hands in hands with the top management and the HR department, and with the HR department more. Cultural and language differences cause stress. So, this aspect we have looked at, the cultural and communication barrier, how it can impact the stress levels of an individual, or how it can add up to the stress level of the individuals. We have looked at these points several times. Female expats had higher level of stress. We have looked at these slides, few slides before this, how a female worker goes through the stress level which are slightly higher than her male counterpart. Over half of the women, which is 54% of the women, did take their full vacation entitlement. Family separation appeared to be less of an issue for female expat. Only 10% reported that their families returned home as a result of the of their work or travel commitment. This is the trend of worldwide working hours. Shortest working week and longest working week in countries like Australia and Argentina. People end up working 36 hours a week, whereas in countries like UAE, Russia, Kuwait, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, so mostly the developing countries, they end up working 41 hours on an average in an week. So it says volumes about you know how work-life balance, particularly in developing countries, is really going for a toss. Work-life balance versus job satisfaction. Now here there are, I'll have to read these slides out to you to, you know, make you understand the numbers and figures and percentages in detail. Norway ranks highly in terms of work-life balance with nearly 80% giving the country a positive rating on factor. So here if we can see Norway puts only 37 hours in a week for work. So Norway, countries like Norway, Costa Rica, Denmark, you know, score quite well when it comes to their work-life balance. So work-life balance is definitely closely associated with job satisfaction, and naturally so. However, does a good work-life balance also mean that our participants are satisfied with the job in general? And not necessarily. Countries like Norway makes it to the 13th place on the job and career sub-index, despite the fact that 75% of the participants are satisfied with their job there. So that's how work-life balance looks like at the moment. It also talks about work-life balance being directly related to strict labor laws strongly discouraging unpaid overtime and irregular work hours. So long working hours from an HR perspective definitely need to be linked to coming up with a overtime policy or compensating people with in kind in terms of giving them additional leaves. Let's look at Switzerland Switzerland part of the world. Switzerland is ranked as number one country by expats looking for a well-balanced, high-quality lifestyle, followed by Singapore, China, Germany, and Bahrain. So those are the countries where people are really happy with, the kind of work-life balance that they have. Expat Explorer league table. Again, reiterates the same thing that countries like Switzerland, Singapore, China, Germany, Bahrain are amongst the top countries where people find work-life balance works very well. Balanced life, the survey reveals that expats living in Switzerland enjoy the best quality of life from a financial well-being perspective. Switzerland emerges as a destination to advance career prospects. One quarter, which is 25% of the expats in Switzerland, earn more than $200,000 per annum. And yet, overall, 51% of the work-life, 51% report a better work-life balance. So this shows that there is no direct correlation with the amount of money you earn and the work-life balance that you deserve. Balanced life in Asia, a hotspot for high earnings. Asia emerges from this year's survey as the best region for financial well-being, with one-fifth of expats earning over $200,000 per annum and 65% saying that they have more disposable income since relocating, which is quite interesting to know. Elsewhere in Asia, around a quarter of expats in India, 24%, and Hong Kong, 23%, earn over $200,000 and 56% and 63% respectively say that they have a greater disposable income at their disposal. Here is the scenario in countries like New Zealand, which is voted as one of the best countries to live with the family and raise the kids and have a perfect life, work-life balance. New Zealand is a destination where expats are most likely to move in order to improve their standard of living. So that's again quite encouraging, and as an HR professional, we definitely need to look at what makes these country interesting place for expats to go and explore the career opportunities. So now a quick check on what we have seen so far to enable expatriates to maintain work-life balance. What should the employers do? The employers should ensure that the expat family is oriented to the expat's role and informed that there are bound to be long working hours and nothing can be done about it, or ensure that the expat family undergoes a pre-assignment assessment to understand whether they are ready for the challenge. Ensure that the expat and his family are given their own time to settle. Work can take a backseat meanwhile. So that's for you to answer. I'm sure you know that the answer is option B. We have looked at the role of women in at an international level. The problems dual career couple faces when in an international or a global role. We have also looked at the impact of international assignments on work-life balance. Now let's move on to see managing cross-cultural teams. Culture and organizational behavior difference in cultures and motivations. Social psychologists originally suggested four dimensions along which cultural values could be analyzed. Individualism, collectivism, uncertainty avoidance, power distance, and masculinity and femininity. So, his masculinity, femininity dimension also suggests that what could be rewarding for different cultures. According to this study, if a culture is masculine, people prefer to receive money, titles, or other materialistic or status-oriented rewards. In a feminine, feministic society, meaningful rewards are time off, improved benefits, or symbolic rewards. In some countries, material items are not perceived as performance rewards but as gifts. People in different cultures communicate among themselves differently. The major difference in how people from different cultures communicate with each other are language usage, verbal style, and non-verbal communication. Two people may speak the same language but mean something very different. We have already looked at these points earlier. We have in the communication chapter, we have seen how verbal communication styles also differ. So, same language, different meanings, different languages, even different meanings is something that one needs to get oriented towards. Culture and conflict resolution. So, conflict resolution also has a huge impact in culture also rather has a huge impact in on the way the conflicts are resolved in different countries. In higher context, culture may many things are left unsaid, letting the culture. So there are things like there are cultures where things are said very directly to resolve the issues, and that is seen to be something very nice, transparent and open way of resolving issues. Whereas in the other countries, the other geographies, the same thing, which is a direct communication, or which we name it as higher context culture, is seen as something very rude, too direct, and too harsh to digest. Cultures also differ in the reasons for conflict and how people behave in during the conflict. Therefore, understanding cross-cultural approaches to conflict will enable an employee to work towards an effective resolution. Now let's look at culture and organizational change. How culture impacts the organizational change. Different cultures have different approaches to change, obviously so. Some resist it, some embrace it, whereas others simultaneously embrace and resist and fear it. So this fact is not just in international context, but even in domestic context, any kind of change is definitely resisted by a certain group of people. The other group of people welcome it. There is still one form of group where people fear the change, people fear the unknown that is coming up. There are cultures that are past oriented and value traditions and history. There are other cultures who are present oriented and focus on the moment. So this changes not in terms of the geography but in terms of generations also. So while we are working, we can see the difference of approach and difference of opinion between the older generation and the younger generation. But at this point, we will definitely stick to our topic of the day, which is cultural context in international, the context of culture in international way. Whereas in this context, past-oriented cultures resist change. Present-oriented show reluctance to acceptance of change, but future-oriented cultures embrace change, and rightfully so. Challenges in cross-cultural teams. So when there are people coming from various cultural background coming together to work on said business venture or a project, they come with their own baggages of culture. It is the job of an HR to ensure that all of them work in coalition and people leverage on each other's strengths to take the business forward. Multicultural teams often generate frustrating management dilemmas. Cultural differences can create substantial obstacles to effective team working. A challenge in managing multicultural teams effectively is to recognize underlying cultural causes. Direct versus indirect communication. Communication in Western cultures is typically direct and explicit. We just spoke about this. Whereas the communication in underdeveloped or Asian countries is more inclined towards unsaid things or things put across very, very politely or things put across very indirectly. The meaning is on the surface and the listener doesn't have to know much about the context or the speaker to interpret. This is not true in many other cultures. In cross-cultural negotiations, the non-Westerner can understand the direct communications of the Westerner, but the Westerner has difficulty understand the indirect communication of the non-Westerner. So the direct and indirect communication styles which we spoke about, this can have a huge impact when you are sitting across the table for business negotiations. So a direct person might not be US counterpart might not be able to understand his the indirect signals of his Singaporean colleague, or a Singaporean colleague might find his US or British partner to be too direct and rude at times. Trouble with accent and fluency. This is something very, very common, especially for people who have never traveled abroad or people who rarely travel abroad. That it, other than the one-on-one communication which happens face-to-face, there are also problems over the phone. When we speak to people over the phone, the accent and fluency is very, very different. And when we are doing it for the first time, it really becomes difficult to understand what the other person is saying and to assimilate his communication. If team members become frustrated or impatient with a lack of fluency, there can be a huge communication gap between two teams, and it can have it can create a havoc. Non-native speakers may become less motivated to contribute or anxious about their performance. So the moment you feel that you are unable to understand or unable to connect to the other person, people get into, they start withdrawing themselves and they get into a cocoon and refuse to come out of it. Hierarchy and authority definitely plays an important role bringing the cross-cultural team together. There are countries where the hierarchy of the company is very, very flat. So the entire organization is divided in not more than 4 or 5 levels. Whereas there are other traditional organizations where they have, entire hierarchy of 18, 20 levels or even more at times. So in such situations, understanding the codes of communication, understanding who is whose counterpart becomes slightly difficult. Challenges, conflicting norms for decision making. Again, culture plays a very important role in decision making. There are cultures where decision making has to be quick and fast, and that is the norm of the day. However, there are cultures where decisions, particularly the decisions which has long term impact, are given a lot of thought, looked at from many perspectives, and discussed with people across the hierarchy to come up with a decision. So those kind of decision making conflicts can definitely emerge when we are working in cross-cultural teams. And here's an example which says that US managers like to make decisions very quickly and relatively little analysis by comparison in comparison with managers in the other countries. This is the this is just the example that we saw. So those could be the kind of challenges while we are managing cross-cultural teams globally. So what are the strategies to manage cross-cultural teams? The Harvard Business Review featured study also interviewed the most successful cross-cultural teams and managers to find out what are the strategies one can use to build successful cross-cultural teams. There is, however, no one right way to deal with it, and each organization has a different culture. Each business comes with a different vision, with different aggression, with different things that are important. For certain businesses, money making is the most important aspect. For the other, building businesses is most important aspect. And there are still others where they give equal emphasis on what they are giving back to the society. So depending on really what is the kind of leadership an organization has and what is the vision of this leadership, the way of managing cross-cultural teams will definitely differ. Crucial step in assessing the circumstances or enabling situation conditions under which the team is working. Adaption. Some teams find ways to work teams find ways to work with or around the challenges they face, adapting practices or attitudes without making changes to the group's membership assignments. So adapting to the new environment is definitely very, very important for an expat, which we have already looked at. It's often the best possible approach to a problem because it typically involves less managerial time than the other strategies. Structural intervention is a deliberate recognition or reassignment designed to reduce interpersonal friction or to remove a source of conflict. The structural intervention could be something which is a matter of policy. So there are various HR policies for conflict resolution, and these kind of structural interventions can definitely be designed and developed by HR department or HR professionals for structural intervention. And these kind of structural interventions are something which is really, really, really healthy. This approach can be extremely effective when obvious subgroups demarcate the team. Managerial intervention, yes, just like structural intervention, managerial intervention is equally important form of resolving conflicts. When managers behave like an arbitrator or a judge making a final decision without team involvement, neither the managers nor the team gains much insight into why the team has stalemated. Strategies to manage cross-cultural teams exit. During the study, they found that leaving the team was an infrequent strategy for managing challenges. In short-term situations, unhappy team members often just waited out the project. Exit was likely when emotions were running high and too much face had been lost on both sides to salvage the situation. Just a quick check on what we have seen till now. In Korean or US negotiation, the American members of the due diligence team were having trouble getting information from Korean counterparts, so they approached the higher level Korean management. This nearly bricked the deal because, just read this out, I'll read this out for you. Korean management was expecting their own lower level people to bring up any issues like American. Unlike Americans, Koreans strictly follow the hierarchy, or Americans were offended at Koreans not sharing information, or Korean management appreciated the Americans' gesture by Korean juniors were and offended. So this is obviously answer A. So we have kind of now looked at the entire chapter structure. We have looked at how the women play an important role in international roles, what are the difficulties that she faces, and what can be done to help her through these difficulties. We have also looked at dual career couples, what are the issues they face, and as an HR, what is it that we can do about it. We have looked at impact of international assignments on work-life balance, and we have just looked at managing how to manage cross-cultural teams. Now, just to summarize the entire thing, this is what we looked at. Women globally, women expats share 20% of the expat jobs that are being done. And quite successfully so. We have looked at the reasons why women expats, the percentage of women expats is considerably low than the men expats. We have seen what are the reasons why the number of women expats are low. We have also seen that women expats, when they come to a foreign country, they are looked up as somebody who is a very highly competent individual. Then we moved on to look at what are the problems with dual career couples. We saw that in today's world, when the woman is getting educated and joining the workforce, both the husband and woman are running parallelly successful careers, and one trailing the other, leaving their successful careers is definitely a problem, and which is why a lot of couples these days decline very attractive offers of the expat kind of a job. Family life goes through a complete toss when it is to do with dual couple career expat management. International, then we looked at the work-life balance. Internationally, across the countries, work-life balance has become a real issue, whether it is to do with the domestic professionals or to do with the expats. Changing time zones, stretched working hours, working on weekends, taking calls at the mid of the night, or attending to the emails at odd hours, is something which is really putting high pressure on the work-life balance, and more to do so with the when it comes to expats, because expats definitely have an additional pressure of managing the cultural aspect, managing communication, managing the environmental adjustments. We saw multicultural teams often generate frustrating management dilemmas, how a culture plays important role in various things, right from making decisions, right from making decisions to adaptation and structural intervention and managerial intervention. So that's what we have seen. We would like to end with a quote by Stephen Covey, who says, "Strength lies in differences, not in similarities." So the more the movement of workforce across the boundaries, the more better it is for the humankind and for the businesses and humankind at large. Thank you very much.